Hey, happy Monday. There's a lot of rumor. There's a lot of innuendo. It is rumor and innuendo. And I am Dominic D'Angelo of Ad Free Shows, SDScoops.com, and RVD Podcast, and a little bit more. But I am here with Robert Karpolis, WD Creative _ish, former WD writer. Robert, how's your Monday?
Happy Monday. I would talk softly for some of you since yesterday was St. Patrick's Day. You may be feeling it a little bit, but it's noontime. We're fired up here. We're going to start by saying hi to some of the folks joining us in the chat. Christopher Zanto, good morning and happy Monday, y'all. Let's Billy and the CW, y'all. If we got time, we'll get to Billy and the CW. Jim Broderick, good morning. Happy Billy and the CW Monday. It's the day I feel it. You know, Dan did ask about Billy and the CW on Friday, Dan St. Germain, which we got a little bit of it, but maybe there'll be a little bit more meat on the bone later on today. And Antonio Santos says, happy Monday. Praise Jeebus, which is a Simpsons reference. Don't want to alienate those folks at my temple. But speaking of temple, Dom, last night, I went to my first indie wrestling show in forever. I went to Boca Raton Championship Wrestling, who had their show at a synagogue. It was the first wrestling event I've ever gone to in a temple. It was awesome. I got to see a lot of old friends I used to work with in WWE. Tyler Breeze was there, Ricardo Rodriguez, Madman Fulton. Got to meet Kurt Stallion from NXT, who really, really impressed the hell out of me. Like, that dude, WWE missed the ball. I think when there's another opportunity for him to be on a main stage, he's going to attract a lot of eyeballs, doing a lot of good things now in Japan. And it was cool to meet a couple folks who came up to me and said that they watch our show. They enjoy what we're doing here on Rumor and Innuendo. So thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And thank you, Dom, for putting together one hell of a run sheet for today.
Hey, we got a good one today. Yeah, not only are we going to talk a little bit of Monday Night Raw tonight, obviously being Monday and all, but we're going to cover Rock and Cody, what happened on SmackDown exactly. Big crossover WrestleMania weekend happening with Bloodsport. Kenny Omega gives some thoughts on John Cena, and Becky Lynch goes to Washington. So we got to cover a little bit of that, but let's kick it off with what happened on SmackDown. And the Rock segment, opening segment, like we've talked about before, Rock should kind of kick these things off because you don't know how long he's going to go. But he babyfaced Memphis and did a little rock concert and then healed on Cody's mom. Robert, did you think this was effective? And what'd you think of that whole presentation of the Rock and him singing and all that stuff?
So effective is a relative term. The internet absolutely loved the Rock concert. It was everywhere. It was all over my timeline. You even had guys like Ric Flair, who worked for AEW, talking about how amazing this was. Clips of this were being passed around to people who might not even be watching wrestling anymore. They remember that vintage Rock and they're going, oh, this is awesome. So for spreading the word around WrestleMania, for getting buzz, for getting hype, for getting energy for it, extremely effective. The challenge when it comes to whether or not this was effective, in my opinion, is did it truly further the story properly? Because Rock wiped the floor with Cody Rhodes. It was effective. It was funny in parts. It was impactful. Scott Chaplin of WrestleRoe said it was a banger of a song. He kind of equated it to like when Adam Sandler would have some of his sort of parody songs, but they're just great songs to listen to. It worked from that capacity, but Cody not showing up, not being there to retaliate in person. They didn't say, hey, Cody, not going to be here tonight, not scheduled to be here. So you're waiting, like, is there going to be immediate response? Cody's going to have to kind of come out there tonight and respond in some way, shape, or form. But the way that The Rock sort of split his promo, it was we're going to do the Rock concert. I love you, Memphis. This is my home, though. To be fair, when he comes down here to Miami, he always calls Miami his home. When they've done shows abroad, Hawaii, he's preferred to Hawaii as some. It's great. Man's got a lot of houses. He's very successful. But the post-song promo, where it was directed at Cody's mom, and I thought was especially effective as a heel. The challenge was Memphis was all in on continuing to cheer for him. If this was a crowd that wanted to boo him, that wanted to hate him, that he called crackheads and meth dealers or whatever the hell he calls them, and then says, hey, Cody, I'm going to beat the crap out of you in front of your mother. I'm going to take this weight belt. I'm going to soak it in your blood. And then I'm going to hand it to her. And then, like the movie Moana, I'm going to sing "You're Welcome." That is a vicious heel promo. Unfortunately, in my opinion, it was in front of a crowd that wanted to cheer it. And we've talked about the folks in Philadelphia. They are a heel-friendly crowd, Dom. Do you think this did more damage than good?
It's kind of, I was going to ask that because I think, you know, you can kind of look at it almost as like a one-off, basically, you know, a certain way where it's like The Rock is just babyface in London, not in Memphis, and then he's, you know, does the heel work still there. People will remember it. But I think the big key component is Cody responding. What is Cody going to do to make him get to The Rock's level on that? Because, I mean, you're right. Like, The Rock just lambasted him and just said whatever. And it's like, it's cool because it's making everybody raise their game up, but it's The Rock. So it's like, how are you going to match that, make it seem effective, make the crowd get back behind you as a babyface, and especially being in Philadelphia? It's a tough task to ask. And I'm kind of curious, too, if is going to be ultimately the residual effects as we lead into WrestleMania. Will the crowd start siding with The Rock a little bit more than Cody? Will things become a little bit more dispersed? Or will Cody kind of step up the game and make his own mark on that? So if I had to guess, I think things will be all right. I think people are really far behind Cody at this point. I think there's a strong wrestling base for it. And the story will get finished at WrestleMania. So I think that'll all kind of come into play there.
I think the best retaliation for Cody, if there really is one, mm-hmm. is him to lean into, I really got under your skin. Like, you're trying so hard to come after me and attack me, you know, destroy the legacy of my father and say that I was an accident and want to embarrass me in front of my mom. When The Rock's grandmother just got announced in the Hall of Fame, it's like, you had to get on the board of directors for your family to get recognized. Whereas my family's legacy is always going to be a part of this business. You could go that path, but then it's swinging at a pitch in the dirt. And mm-hmm. does that bring Cody down to his level? I think the idea of, I got in your head, I've got under your skin, and that's why you're doing that. But when I get there, I'm singularly focused on finishing my story. I'm finishing the story for my mom, for my wife, for the fans that are here, for the legacy of my family. And when you fail, you're going to have to live with that. And I'm going to be the face of the company that you're sitting on the board of.
Yeah.
That could work. Mm-hmm. I don't think is working is the tag tournament.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I was curious about that because it just kind of felt like an afterthought in certain ways. I felt watching the show and then like kind of keeping track. Okay. There's a tournament. I thought they advanced. They're not in WrestleMania yet. Oh, there's another round. Okay. There's more to go. It's just like a lot to kind of think of.
I will always, criticize AEW for being overly complicated, especially when it comes to certain tournaments. Mm-hmm. This is WWE leaning into their worst impulses. I like a single elimination tournament. You win, you advance, and you're in the match. You lose, you're not in the match. The end. Instead, it's winning to face another match, to do another thing. It's a lot. It's too much. I never liked that AEW math tournament that they did where there were points and a grid and a spreadsheet. It felt like something on the SATs. This already confused me because I thought, oh, I guess Legato's in. Yeah, oh, no, they're not. There's another match and then another match. And then there's more matches here tonight. You don't have to make it overly complicated to get to a ladder match. It's just, it's close to math. And we all know how I feel about math, Dom.
Math is the ultimate heel, I think, here on Rumor and Innuendo. I'm not a big fan either. I do think, it's kind of weird. I understand the aspect that they want to kind of fill out their shows for the remainder of the road to WrestleMania and stuff, and so make stuff seem valuable. But yeah, it's just like, have one match, boom, you're in. Boom, that's it. And like, you get to showcase some teams still in that manner. So I think it's, you know, you can have your cake and eat it too in that regard. But SmackDown, we happen to have, what was it there? Oh, yeah, Jimmy J got announced for WrestleMania. And then we also have KO versus Logan Paul versus Randy Orton announced for WrestleMania. It was pretty. So they just punched you right in the face with those. I thought they were going to kind of prolong a little bit those, maybe one here and then one next week or something.
So there were sort of three things they set up. They clearly set up the Jimmy versus Jay match for Mania, announced that. I thought that Jimmy's promo was very effective, fired up direct to camera in the back. The close of the show with Bayley and Dakota Kai, we talked about this on Friday, what we expected, that this is going to be setting up a match I've been kind of telegraphing for several weeks now, that we're going to get Naomi and Bianca versus the Kabuki Warriors. Bianca not coming out at the end of SmackDown further telegraphs this. Naomi's going to have to pull her in, and Bayley's going to have to pull her in, and eventually Bianca begrudgingly is going to get sucked into this world. It could have been effective if they said Bianca was not there. It's weird that she just was not a part of SmackDown at all, but maybe next week she's like, hey, I was off doing a press tour for my Hulu show. That's why I wasn't here. I'm back here this week. Naomi saying, hey, you got to have our backs in this. You got to get sucked in. And then the third was setting up this Kevin Owens, Logan Paul, Randy Orton match at Mania, which we all hoped it was going to be on one-on-one, whether it was going to be one-on-one Kevin Owens, Logan Paul, one-on-one Orton and Logan Paul. A triple threat muddies the water a little bit. But I will say, Dom, one of the highlights of SmackDown was that Austin Theory stunner into the RKO. He popped up unexpectedly. And guys, if you want to make sure that you pop up unexpectedly, may we recommend our friends at Blue Chew. Yes, this episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Let's talk about sex. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Visit BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew tablets are made in the USA and prepared and shipped directly to your door in a discreet package. Guys, that RKO comes from out of nowhere. That stunner leaves them flat on their back, and that's how you want your partner to feel after you, boom, take some of that Blue Chew, because Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use your promo code Rumor at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Rumor, to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this episode of Rumor and Innuendo.
Yes. And hey, somebody that wants to leave somebody flat on their back is Becky Lynch, wants to leave Nia Jax flat on her back for the last man standing match, I believe it is, in the main event of Raw, possibly. Plus, we already talked about Cody, how he should react and everything like that. Robert, what do you kind of expect from Raw here? Do you expect some kind of some significant developments going on here?
Yeah, I think the last woman standing match, Becky and Nia, because it's last woman standing, that means there's no disqualification, which means Liv Morgan will most likely make an appearance somewhere in this match. Possibly Rhea Ripley for the first time engaging in some actual physicality with Becky. They've kind of kept them separate. It's sort of, I know you're heading towards me at WrestleMania, Becky. I'm your destination. I can just ignore you until we get closer to the show. So it's not a deeply personal story. It's a challenger champion story. But this feels like that pivot, that maybe we're closing the book on the Nia Jax, Becky Lynch storyline and moving towards Becky focused on Rhea for Mania. And yes, everyone's going to be curious how Cody's going to respond. Cody will be on SmackDown on Friday for a face-to-face with Roman. So this is his chance to address Rock before getting to SmackDown and then focusing on his Universal title opportunity. What else is set for Raw tonight, Dom?
So we have those tag team matches set to go to. We have Awesome Truth versus Indusheer. We have New Day versus the Alpha Academy, which is Otis and Akira Tozawa, so not Chad Gable. And then we also have DIY versus the Creed Brothers. So we'll get some more people advancing in this tournament, and hopefully we kind of get more of an understanding.
They can advance to advance. It makes me think of the old days in WCW when Tony Schiavone famously blurted out something. And it's like, it's almost like a qualifying match, when it was, in fact, a qualifying match. This is the world we're in right now, guys. We are in WCW level of logical booking. So, you know, protect yourselves. The guy who I'm most curious to see his logical booking is going to be Chad Gable. Where do you see Gable winding up?
That's so tough because, I mean, you kind of understood. And a lot of people online started going after the fact that, like, Chad Gable didn't have his shoulders down on the mat, so there's an out for him and stuff like that. But it's like they didn't bring that up. Like, he didn't make a big case of it when he got pinned, actually. He was just, like, kind of, like, shocked and stuff. So I don't know where you're kind of – he's such a good, tangible baby face. I don't want to see him turn heel, I don't think, again, like, and get, like, corrupted and stuff like that. I just think he's somebody that – a lot of people can really tie behind and almost like a new kind of Daniel Bryan in a lot of ways, I think. And I think there's a lot of value to have him in that. So maybe seeing him kind of work his way back up again or do something. It's tough. I don't know, Robert. What do you think?
I think Chad Gable has something to prove now. He's shown that he's capable in a main event spot as a singles competitor. The audience can get behind him despite his size. And they recognize the fact that this guy is young and hungry. And Dom, if you or our listeners or viewers are young and hungry, we want to recommend our new sponsor here at Rumor and Innuendo, Factor. That was a seamless transition there, man. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from each week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and get after your goals. This sponsor makes total sense for us because we air at noon Eastern. You guys are joining us live, for most of you, for your lunch break. You want something that's quick and easy. You pop it in for 2 minutes. You are ready to go with a delicious meal. Dom, I know you've enjoyed some Factor previously. My first order of Factor's arriving next week. I will sample that live on the air next week as a Factor sample. But what was your takeaway when you've enjoyed Factor?
Honestly, I love them. I got the keto one, and I got 6 meals. It was great. A lot of chicken options. There were some pork options, too. Some very good, like, mixture and diverse meals there. And I don't have a microwave. So the neat thing is I have just a toaster oven. You can pop it right in the toaster oven, too, and it heats up 7 minutes. You're good to go, too. So I can't speak highly enough of it. I'm always somebody that's out and about and kind of moving around, freelance writing, doing all that gig, doing the hustle. So these meals worked perfectly for me. I'm very excited to have them as a sponsor here on Rumor and Innuendo, Robert.
Well, if you want to join us for a Rumor and Innuendo lunchtime, can we recommend that you head over to factormeals.com/rumor50 and use code rumor50 to get 50% off. That's code rumor50 at factormeals.com/rumor50 to get 50% off. That's a huge discount. That's a huge savings. I'm excited for that. It is the perfect sort of synergy. Sitting here watching Rumor and Innuendo, eating something good. Interesting time for synergy elsewhere, Dom, which is seeing a WWE superstar competing at a non-WWE event.
Yeah, it was a major news thing that dropped on Friday. Josh Barnett revealed that Shayna Baszler will be competing at GCW Bloodsport 10 in Philadelphia. Pretty wild. The card was already kind of shaping up. I think they had Josh Barnett's taking on John Morrison. But Shayna Baszler going to be competing on there. And the report is, according to Fightful, that there's more to come. Like, more talent will be working that show. So, Robert, such a wild kind of head-scratching opportunity. You kind of think about how it's been WrestleMania's in the past, and WWE's been very protective of their territory when it comes to the shows being around and that kind of thing, and making sure that they're the ones that stand out. Here, they're opening that door and getting mixing up with GCW and stuff.
So I'm going to be the cranky old man.
Okay. Number one,
I love Shayna Baszler. Shayna's a friend of mine. I think she's incredibly talented in the ring. I love the uniqueness of the Bloodsport event. It's one of those things that happens every year and people are just, what's Barnett going to come up with now? I never love a situation where a WWE superstar is potentially risking getting injured at a non-WWE event. I have the same concerns when AEW, when their talent is competing elsewhere, whether they're in AAA or New Japan or wherever that is. I understand talent wants the opportunity to perform on different stages and have those different opportunities and experiences. I understand Shayna Baszler and Josh Barnett's history and why Shayna would want to be there at this event. I'm just always concerned because you're putting time and equity into your talent on your television. If they get hurt elsewhere on someone else's dime, you've made a bad decision. And I'm hoping that we don't see any of that here. But at the same time, it's the first thing I saw when I saw this announcement. I know a lot of people are thinking, hey, this is going to allow for working relationships elsewhere and talent's going to get to compete in other promotions and other unique one-offs. I'm all for growing the business, but at the same time, it's just the creative in me. If I'm working on storyline for a talent, if I'm mapping out my weeks and months ahead on my grid, and then they get hurt someplace else, I'm not going to be thrilled.
No, and I think that's a really good point too, because yeah, she is going outside of the WrestleMania WWE box here and wrestling on a different card. It's more of a different story when WWE brings somebody else into the mix, like they did with Jordynne Grace at Royal Rumble and stuff like that. And then they're under a bigger, much bigger umbrella that gets a lot more eyes on this particular talent. So her going out is cool. It's awesome. I love that crossover aspect and I love that identity. But yeah, you do run that risk of being like, hey, what if somebody gets hurt? And is the return going to be that good for WWE? I think it's cool because it's kind of giving WWE this new, more open identity, which is very nice. But yeah, what's the ROI on that is the big question, I think.
Look at you using fancy terms right there, like ROI. It's became like a business class all of a sudden.
That's it.
I like
we'll
it.
Circle back around to that.
I will corrupt you and ruin you and get you to the point where like Dan St. Germain on Friday pointed out, I'm always accused of being the Stanford shill, just having worked at WWE. One of the funny things while at the Boca Raton Championship Wrestling Show was talking to other guys who had been in WWE and commiserating on the fact that you just can't shake some of those issues, those things in your brain. Like you can't say belt. Even they were talking about that is like, oh, you know, he's got to get his belt. And someone's like title. I'm like, thank you. We all know it's title. It's championship. It's never belt. I reserve that for AEW or maybe the NWA. But speaking of AEW, a top AEW star had something interesting to say about the needle mover. It's a Monday, guys. The needle mover of the WWE.
That's right. Kenny Omega on his Twitch stream actually was asked about John Cena. I believe he was asked if he ever met John Cena. And so he says, no, I have not, but I think he's great. Great professional wrestler. He's done an incredible amount for the business. I don't think anyone will be able to match anytime soon. The reason why is because Cena wasn't doing anything for the sake of accomplishment or trophy or recognition. He went on to say that people went out of their way after the fact to say, look at all this stuff John is doing in his time off. Maybe he even laughs at himself, but for the amount of effort he has put in to make people's lives better, whether it be Make-A-Wish, fans at arenas, or autograph signings, it's a great example for what the face of a company should be for the face of an industry. I'm a very big proponent of John Cena. I think he's incredible. Pretty cool words from Kenny Omega. You really want to see that kind of personality exude onto an AEW product of somebody like a John Cena is like, hey, making those appearances, showing up, doing these big things and making your wrestling promotion feel bigger than what it, you know, what you originally were there to do, you know, make it bigger. So I want those words to kind of be resounded on AEW television.
I would love to see that on AEW TV. I would have loved for Kenny to potentially have taken that sort of position. That's not really who Kenny is. Mm-hmm. He's someone who has his niche worlds he likes to go into, obviously the video games and the anime and that whole arena. But Kenny Omega, who looks great in a suit, I don't see him showing up on The Tonight Show and sitting across from Jimmy Fallon and being able to do that. I think that the guy that has been the best for them media-wise was MJF, but MJF was doing some of that initially as a heel. And even when he became a babyface, people were sitting and waiting for the other shoe to drop. I'm curious how Ospreay will do in that position. I think that he is someone who, if they give him some media training, can really slide into that role. But it's also why I was so critical of how much Tony Khan paid for Okada, because Okada is not going to be a crossover mainstream star. He's going to do amazing things in the ring in AEW. I just don't think that you're again going to be able to put him on the Today Show in the morning. It was something Vince explained years ago about Great Khali, that no, he's not good in the ring, but if you're flipping through the channels and you see him standing in Rockefeller Center on the Today Show, you're going to stop and see what's that guy doing. Yeah. It's not the way you really ideally should always be booking, but it is something that plays in. It's great that Kenny acknowledges all the good things John Cena has done, because they're two very different types of wrestlers. Kenny Omega has a litany of five-star matches that has occurred all over the world. John Cena, he's had a couple of highly regarded matches. A lot of those matches are very formulaic. They're not exactly tape trader worthy, but Kenny appreciates what John Cena brings to the industry in the same way I'm sure John Cena appreciates the kind of performer that Kenny Omega is. But the one thing you really want to see is you want to see the industry grow. You want to continue to see it get that recognition and see those moments and pictures where you're just going, how is this real? And speaking of that, Dom, something happened yesterday that I saw on social media that my very first inclination was, how is this picture real?
I know, right? So Becky Lynch was the honorary guest at the White House. They were celebrating, obviously, St. Patrick's Day. Becky Lynch, being from Ireland, went to the White House to represent WWE. And sure enough, she got a picture with the president, President Joe Biden. Her and Joe were together. She brought her book there, put it in the library. The White House library, pretty neat experience. Whether you're on whatever political side you may be on, it's still very cool to see WWE be in wrestling, be at the White House. So kind of neat there, Robert.
I thought it was incredible. It's one of those things that's it's almost unfathomable to think that there was a WWE superstar, in this case Becky Lynch, at the White House in a picture with the President of the United States. It's strange because there's a former president of the United States who's a WWE Hall of Famer.
Yep.
But a lot of what he did was before that. I don't know if you remember years ago, there was the SmackDown Your Vote campaign, and they had the candidates cut promos that aired on air. And one of the most uncomfortable, just cringeworthy things I think I've ever seen was Hillary Clinton branding herself as Hillrod. If you thought Linda McMahon, my beloved Linda McMahon, did not have on-screen charisma, you have seen nothing until you've seen Hillary Clinton try to cut one of those promos. Obama, on the other hand, leaned into "If you smell what Barack is cooking," which was just absolutely fantastic. But that was trying to pander for the vote thing. This was the White House reaching out and wanting to recognize folks on St. Patrick's Day. And the fact that they said, we want to bring Becky Lynch in, kind of speaks volumes about where the industry is right now.
Right. It's so wild to kind of think that, you know, you see how big WrestleMania is this year, being 40, and, you know, Philadelphia and The Rock coming in, and then TKO, and, you know, but them going international and going overseas and making bigger events, PLEs over there and stuff like that. It's just really, really hammering home the point how big WWE is getting. And like, just it's the mothership, man. It's just what it is. And it's really neat to see. And that's kind of neat too, because the Kevin Nash podcast episode is saying like, wrestling's no longer the redheaded stepchild is the topic. And it's basically like that, you know, it's kind of cool. Like entertainment, it's a big part of entertainment now. It's not the redheaded stepchild of entertainment anymore, it seems.
Absolutely. I think it's a cornerstone of a number of different industries right now, whether it be over the air television, cable, streaming, merchandising, video games, all that. Hell, I just want to give a quick shout out right now. Those of you watching live, we're over 4,200 viewers that are tuning in live for Rumor and Innuendo, which is more impressive because we are not on ad-free shows today live on their YouTube, because that damn Jeff Jarrett has bumped us. So Double J, we're the real draw here, man. All right, we're getting the bag, not you. We will see you somewhere down the road. But Dom, where else can the folks see you?
Yeah, you can see me today, Monday at 4:20 p.m. at rvdtv.com. One of a kind with RVD, episode 44 releases. We talk about the Mike Tyson, Jake Paul fight. We talk about Muhammad Ali getting inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. And then he's got a great story about Sabu and Vince McMahon, too, that he shares. So go to rvdtv.com. Subscribe, like, share, get the word out. Help that algorithm kicking on there. And also tomorrow is going to be Straight Talk with the Boss, Greg Gagne, Magnum TA. We again talk about Muhammad Ali on there, but we also look at back. We take a bigger, deeper look at like some of the older characters in the history of wrestling, like from UConn Eric. Greg Gagne tells an awesome story about UConn Eric and stuff like that. And so definitely tune into that. Go to GagneMagnum.com. Get subscribed to both those channels. Hit us up. And yeah, Robert, we got some good stuff cooking here on Adfree Shows. What do you got cooking?
We got some great stuff cooking here. You can catch my other podcast, Wrestle Roast, which includes Mr. Dan St. Germain, who was on our show on Friday as a great guest and as an upcoming guest. Give a quick shout out to the Blue Meanie himself, Mr. Brian Heffron. Hey. We're going to have him coming up soon this week to plug all of his goings on in Philly during WrestleMania week. All the more reason for you to tune in here every Monday through Friday live at noon Eastern. Join almost 4,400 of your close friends watching live. And if you did not catch us live streaming on SE Scoops, Dominic D'Angelo, WWE Creative _ ISH Podcast Heat, or the Rumor and Innuendo YouTube page, may we recommend you go and listen to us on Spotify or iTunes or wherever you get your podcast needs. And while you're there, throw up a quick 5-star review, help that algorithm out. So on behalf of the universally beloved Dominic D'Angelo, I'm Robert Karpeles. Best of luck in your future endeavors.
I'm going to Fargo strut, baby. Fargo strut.